But one of the things we're going to do, one of the things we're going to do today is, I wanted to start out today looking at what 1 Corinthians talks about in chapter 11, when it talks about how we are to gather around the Lord's table. And most of you, if you've experienced any other type of church or been to other places, different groups, they do it differently. We here, we do it every week, where we come together and we take part in the Lord's Supper. Now, it's the first Sunday of the month, and so if you come from any other tradition or if you're familiar with anything else, you know that usually first Sunday of the month, like, everybody shows up to church because it's time to take communion. They don't take it every Sunday like we do in the Church of Christ. And while we do this every Sunday, the real thing that we have to guard ourselves against and be prepared for is that we don't just take this time for granted, that we don't just do it because it's being done, because it's that time of service, but that we understand exactly what Christ did when he went to the cross and gave up his life, that we understand that because of this, we have one another. If I were to give this sermon a title, I would call it One Cube or Two. This will make sense in just a second. Because this actually falls right in line with what we've been looking at the past several weeks about the mission that Christ set us out on. The mission that the first century church had, when you look through Acts, when you look through the different books in the New Testament, we see the mission that they were on. And this time where we take the Lord's Supper falls right in line with that. Now, I'll ask you guys, anybody who's ever been on social media any time in the past, what, couple of years, you've probably seen this. You know, this is Kermit the Frog, for those of you who don't know. I don't know how you can live in the United States of America and not know who Kermit the Frog was, but this is Kermit the Frog sipping tea. Now, what happens is you'll see this where basically you'll see this Kermit the Frog sipping tea, and this common little moniker, this meme goes out where it says sipping tea, but it always ends, whatever was in the meme, it doesn't matter what was said, it always ends with, "But that's none of my business." So they'll say something like, you know, this person did this, thus and so, and they knew they were out of order for doing it, but that's none of my business. The idea being that I have an opinion on this, I have a thought on this, I have a concern about this, this matters to me, but it's none of my business, so I'm just going to leave this here and walk away. What we find and what we have to be conscious and aware of, especially during this time, is that we understand that, as a matter of fact, it is our business. The body of Christ, our brothers, our sisters, those who are lost, it is, in fact, our business. And that's what this time symbolizes. But I want to look at an example that most of us are probably familiar with in 1 Corinthians. And I'll read starting in chapter 11, verse 17. It says, "In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. So then when you come together, it's not the Lord's supper you eat, for when you are eating, some of you go ahead with your own private suppers. As a result, one person remains hungry and another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? Certainly not in this matter. For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. Anyone who is hungry should eat something at home so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And when I come, I will give further directions. What we see here as Paul is in the middle of this first writing to the church in Corinth is that you have a church where he says, some of you have fallen asleep. Some of you have not fallen asleep literally, although it happens, but fallen asleep spiritually in that you've lost sight of what you're supposed to have in one another. You've lost sight of why it is we even come together on a Sunday morning, why it is we come together to have the Lord's Supper. And as we're growing as a congregation, as we're growing spiritually as individuals, I want to take us back and really make help us to think about what it is that this particular part of 1 Corinthians is saying. And what it's telling us and what it's reflecting on is helping us to see that when we come together, when it talks about discerning the body of Christ, I remember I used to think all the time, like, what does discerning the body of Christ mean? And I know that we can never be worthy. I always like how when Mike gets up and he'll do the, when he's on the table, he'll do the Lord's Supper, and he'll talk about how none of us are worthy, but because Jesus was willing to go to the cross and die, it makes us worthy. But in discerning the body of Christ, we have to remember that this body, we have to first say, you know what? I'm going to resolve my conflicts. I'm not going to think of myself as better than another person. When we think of what was going on here, what we find is that you had people who were not concerned about their brother or sister. It's kind of like that Kermit the Frog thing, sipping tea is none of my business. There were too many people who were willing to say, it's none of my business. There were too many people willing to say that, you know what? I've got what I need. I've got my provisions. I'm taken care of. But it's none of my business to go over and ask this person or talk to this person or find out how I can be unified with my brother. It's like this person is hurting because maybe they've got a health conflict, or this person is having some financial trouble, or this person is just struggling with something. And too many people were willing to say, you know what, I'll just sit over here on the side and sip my tea, and it's okay, because it's none of my business. What we find here is that it's always our business. Now, that doesn't mean you pry and you force somebody to open up and share something and talk to you, but it is our business to show that we care. One of the things you by now have probably noticed, if you walked in and looked to your left or if you went to the bathroom, is I put pictures up. And the reason why I put these pictures up is because one of the things that we often do when we come into church is we think, and Jimmy and I were talking about this a few weeks back, how when we come to church, when we come to assemble with God's family, oftentimes we think, well, what's the first thing that you see when you walk in? When you walk around the building, what do you think of? What images, what comes to mind? And what's important, and the reason why I wanted to put all these pictures up, and sorry if I put a picture up you don't like, just let me know, I'll take it down. But the reason why I wanted to do that was to illustrate that when we decide that we're not going to give and serve in God's church, that those are the people who are being let down. Those are your brothers and sisters. You know, when we don't pray for one another, those are the people that you're not praying for. When you're angry or holding a grudge, you feel like you just can't deal with a brother or sister, that's the people. That's the face. We want to put names to faces. And see, sometimes if we're not careful, we can forget that as we gather around this table, as we take the bread, which represents his body, and we take the blood, which represents, I'm sorry, take the cup, which represents his blood, we can forget that it is this body, it is this church, it is our unity as Christians that we're trying to preserve, we're trying to grow, we're trying to establish, we're trying to lift up and build up and encourage. When people come along who maybe don't know what it is to love Christ, maybe they don't even know or believe in, as David said this morning during Bible study, he's talking to a guy and he says, you believe in that Bible thing? You believe in that Jesus guy? Like it's just some far off theory. See, we know, we who know Christ know differently because we've lived it. We've seen it. But what we forget is that when people come here who don't know Christ, they're looking for what we have, what we see in 1 Corinthians 11. They're looking for that family. They're looking for that love. They're looking for something that only Jesus can give them the same way he gave it to us, where we don't have to live empty lives. We don't have to be wandering and just feeling like there's nothing important about life. We just come to live and work and die. But we know that there's more to life, and we know there's more to our eternity. Sometimes when we look at 1 Corinthians 11, it's important that we understand that it's not a simple, well, I just don't like this thing, or I don't agree with this thing, or there's this little faction here, there's this little thing that I'm just going to stay isolated alone. We sometimes forget, it's kind of like being in school. This is what it feels like to be left out. This is what it looks like to be left out, to be ignored. You know, there's other passages where he talks about how it was important that the widows be served. The reason why it was so important was because in their society, if you're a widow, it wasn't like now we had Social Security and all these different things that in our society help to aid those who may be isolated or can't do for themselves. But if you were handicapped, if you were a widow, if you were a person who was a reject in society, this is what it looked like. This is what it felt like. It felt like being that little kid who nobody wanted to play with, who didn't have any friends. You know, we call it bullying now. We call it children being cruel. But this is what 1 Corinthians is trying to tell us to guard our hearts against. We have to remember that we're all different. We all got our little quirks and little things, and there's things about one person that's like, oh my goodness, I wish they would stop doing that. And then there's other things you think that's great. But we all have to remember that this is what people who are left out feel like. This is what people who don't know Christ, don't know what it is to have a real church family. This is what it feels like. This is what we want. You know, when you think about and whatever definition you have of a healthy family versus an unhealthy family, what we're trying to create and what God wants us to understand is that when we come together, he wants a healthy family. He wants a healthy church. And healthy doesn't mean perfect because we can't be perfect. Healthy doesn't mean we're always going to get things right. But healthy means that, you know what? We have people who are servants, like in the church when we talked about the deacons. You know, we have those who are going to serve. That means our deacons need to step up and really make sure that we're concerned about serving. But it can't just be the deacons. It can't just be the elders. It can't just be the person who was charged with being the minister. It has to be all of us. That when we see somebody and we feel like we haven't talked to them in a while, we haven't seen them in a while, they seem isolated, we love them. We bring them in. We invite them to our home. See, it extends beyond just this time. Because what we saw when they got together for the Lord's Supper was not just in that time of the Lord's Supper. He was talking to a much bigger issue. And the bigger issue was that we have to be loving one another constantly. Even if there's a disagreement, even if there's a problem, even if there's something that needs to be hashed out. What did Jesus say before he talked to the rich young ruler? He said he looked at him and he loved him. See, he loved him before he challenged him, before he admonished him. We have to love one another. Because what people are looking for, the way that people know that we are Christians is by our love. By our love for one another. By how we treat them, regardless of how we get treated. And so as we take this time to observe the Lord's Supper, I want us to take a moment and really consider, are we sitting back and sipping tea as things go by? Or are we really and truly interested in loving our brothers? Do we understand that those people in those pictures on the wall, see, somebody who's a stranger, somebody who doesn't know us, they might look and think, oh, well, that's a great picture. Or, oh, okay, I like, oh, that's a great hat he has on, or something like that. But see, when we look at those pictures, we see names and faces. We have memories. We know those people. We have history. And so it's important that we understand that we don't want to let our brothers and sisters down. We don't want to not pray for our brothers and sisters. You know, after we're done here, we're going to go downstairs. And we're going to celebrate the birthdays and anniversaries that are coming up. I got one. We're going to celebrate with one another. We're going to encourage one another. We're going to love one another. I was told some time back when I asked, this was a couple years ago, I asked, so what is the focus and the theme and the motto of this church? And I was told to be a familiar church. To be familiar, so that those who may not know when they come to Dover where to find the Church of Christ, they may not know exactly what to look for. We want to be familiar. And what I want to challenge us all as individuals, but even as a church, as a congregation, do we want to be familiar to other people by name? Or do we want to be familiar because we look and behave and think and talk like Christ did? Because as we look in 1 Corinthians 11, it was a familiar situation for people to be left out, because that's what society did. We talked in Sunday school about having the mind of Christ. And if we're going to have the mind of Christ, if we're going to think like Christ did, then we can't have it where things get overlooked. People feel out of place. Our mission to go and seek and save the lost, to help our brothers and sisters get to heaven, our mission is carried out by us loving one another. Our mission is carried out when people who don't know Christ know that they can find him here. They can find him here because we are here living the life of Christ, imitating the life of Christ, showing others that while the world may think one thing makes sense and one thing is wise, that in actuality, this is what Christ would have us do. And so I want to encourage us to remember that this time is not just where we're going to pass the trays around, and it's not just, okay, I'll say a quick prayer and I'll thank the Lord for the body, but I want us to continue on even after we leave here and go downstairs or go wherever we're going to go or throughout the rest of the week. I want us to really think about how special it is to have this body. How special every last person in those pictures are. How special it is, even the people who aren't in those pictures, even people that we know in other places. Our bond, our unity, what brings us together as believers, how special that is. How important it is that we have that. And not just think of this as a time that we do this because this is what we do in the Church of Christ. We do this every Sunday. But that we really, truly appreciate all the smiling faces that you see. Sometimes you'll see that sad face because they're going through something. Sometimes you'll know that a person is holding up well, but they're really tired inside. Really appreciating the body of Christ that is provided because of Christ's sacrifice and what he did for us on the cross. Let us sing before we take the Lord's Supper.